Unions are angry at Labor's decision to back major free trade agreements with Indonesia, Hong Kong and Peru. The Australian Council of Trade Unions says the deals should never have been signed, let alone won bipartisan support. But opposition leader Anthony Albanese says Labor has won some significant concessions from the Morrison government.
These agreements are better than the current system provided for under the bilateral agreements. And there's no one has said to me that this agreement is a step backwards. No one has said that. And what we're about in this building, in the imperfect world where we're not the government, is getting practical steps forward which advance the interests of workers and advance the interests of jobs.
That's Anthony Albanese speaking there. Michelle O'Neill is the president of the ACTU. Welcome back to Breakfast.
Good morning, Hamish.
What's the problem here?
Look, we have a number of problems with these agreements. Firstly, they're done in a way where there's no independent economic assessment as to their value. The Australian union movement supports trade, but we want trade to be fair. We want to make sure it actually delivers in the Australian interest. And many people, including the Productivity Commission, have looked into recent agreements that have been made by Australia and said that the effect is actually negligible in terms of benefit to the economy. And the way these negotiations happen, they happen in secret, there's no oversight, and there's no independent economic assessment as to the value. So we then have them presented to an inquiry after they're signed, sealed and delivered. And they've got problems with them. We have 1.4 million people in Australia at the moment on temporary work visas. We know there's rampant exploitation of many of those workers. And an example of one of the problems with these agreements is they have no labour clauses that require that the companies that Australian companies will trade with in Indonesia, for example, meet minimum labour standards. There is a significant problem with child exploitation and child labour in Indonesia, yet we have no clause that requires Indonesia to actually address that or to be held to account if there's ongoing breaches.
Can we just take the Indonesia example, though, because you're talking about the value proposition potentially being negligible. Indonesia is expected to move from being the 16th biggest economy in the world to the fourth biggest in 2050. It represents currently just 2% of Australia's trade. Clearly, closer ties between Indonesia and Australia on trade has enormous potential for new jobs here in the longer term.
That's right, Hamish. So we need to be clear about what we're saying here. We are not opposing doing good quality, fair trade agreements with Indonesia or other trading partners.
But you've just flagged that you believe there's potentially negligible benefit. Are you seriously arguing that in relation to Indonesia?
I am saying that because we have no evidence, no economic assessment. The government has admitted that there's been no economic independent assessment of this. And it's like the department and the government mark their own homework here. They enter into a negotiation, then they say it's going to be great for Australia, and then there's nobody else that has access to the information that's required or give you any analysis as to whether that's true. And we've heard this repeatedly. Now, what we want to ensure is, firstly, that it is good, that it's good for Australian workers, jobs and communities. Secondly, that it's not done on the back of exploitation, that it's done in a way that's fair for workers here and for workers in other countries. And thirdly, it has these investor-state disputes settlement clauses in it that allow multinational companies to sue Australia. We've already seen this happen with Philip Morris in terms of plain packaging of tobacco, cost Australian government and taxpayers many millions of dollars over 6 years of disputation. And these agreements include the very same or similar clauses.
Anthony Albanese, though, to be fair, is saying that Labor will push for changes to better protect Australian jobs and introduce safeguards and carve-outs in investor-state dispute clauses that let those foreign companies sue the Australian government. Why is that not good enough?
So the only carve-out that exists in the change that they're trying to ensure happens here is in relation to health, and that's very important. But importantly, it leaves out any protection in terms of changing in labour standards or environmental standards. So an example is that the Egyptian government was recently sued by a French company under exactly these sort of clauses for a rise in the minimum wage. So labour rights issues, where the government of the day, this government, government or a future might want to do things like improve the minimum wage or stop wage theft or stop industrial manslaughter are subject to multinational companies being able to sue the Australian government because it will affect their profits. Now, this is not a good thing for Australia. It's not good for the economy. It's not good for Australian workers. And these clauses should not be included in agreements, full stop.
In response to some of the concerns that you're raising, Anthony Albanese says this. He says this will directly create jobs for Australian infrastructure providers, for service providers, as a result of the growth that will occur. Do you disagree with him?
All I'm saying is that we want to see jobs created, but we must have a standard in our agreements with Indonesia and with any other country that requires a rigorous economic assessment that looks at the impacts on jobs here, existing jobs and future jobs, before we sign on the dotted line.
I have heard that a number of times. I'm just trying to clarify whether or not you disagree with the proposition he puts that these deals will result in more jobs in Australia.
I can't tell you whether he is right, Hamish. I wish I could. And I hope his wish about it is right. But it's a wish. We don't have any evidence to back it up. We want there to be good jobs coming out of this. We want there to be growth in exports. We want those jobs to be ones that are secure jobs and fair jobs and not based on exploitation here or on short-term visa workers. But we need evidence to back this up. We can't just go on a wing and a prayer about what we want to see these things deliver. We need to make sure that, you know, like many other countries, Western countries in the world, where there is a thorough scrutiny of these agreements before they are finalised, before they are signed, and where the whole agreement goes to Parliament for a debate. We don't have any of that apply in Australia. We've got a long history of secret arrangements that, when it turns out over the years that follow, don't live up to the promises. Now, I hope he's right. I hope the government's right. But there's no evidence of it, and we know there's flaws in it. And those flaws are about the problems in terms of, for example, the increase in working holiday visas and training visas, both types of visas where workers will come to Australia where there hasn't first been a test about whether those local workers can do the job. And secondly, we know there's already a problem with wage stagnation. When you've got exploitation of short-term visa workers in Australia today, wages that have been flatlining for 7 years, you can see the connection between if you have a large increase in the movement of labour and you don't address the fair treatment of workers, how that will continue to exacerbate the problem.
We'll have to leave it there. We've got to get to the news, but we appreciate your time this morning, Michelle O'Neill. Thank you.
Thanks, Hamish.
Michelle O'Neill is the president of the ACTU.